You have tuned in to the Steelers Hangover. This is part two. My name is Brian Anthony Davis. Alongside me is Tony DeFio. We are from BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. We started out writing. Now we're just blabbing whatever we think of Steeler-wise. So, we're feeling good about it. Mark Tobin, I did not know that Coward got fired. I know he's no longer with ESPN. He's with Fox now, so if he was fired, I'm not sure, or if he moved on their own.
Oh, no. I think he's talking about years ago. He's still with Fox.
All right. So with that being said, let's get back into it. Now, here is my other knee-jerk reaction. And everybody in the live chat, talk me down from the wall. And Dallas and Ezra, I'm hearing you on Ray Ray. We're going to get to him, I promise you. So here's the thing. Am I too concerned about the secondary, Tony? And not just the cushion on coverage, but all of the pass interference penalties? Because I got to tell you, I looked at most of them, and I wasn't really saying, yeah, we got screwed over like everybody else is saying. So, and I'm usually the guy's like, yeah, we got screwed over. I'm really not seeing it. I mean, I could see on it, like on the Deontay Johnson punt return, that turned out all right because you don't have the Claypool play next. But Cameron Sutton was putting his hands up in the air, looking like he was guilty. Mm-hmm. And I watched it. I thought it was a good call because I did think he hit. He pushed him, and I saw it. So, you know, Tony, am I just going a little crazy here? I don't think this secondary's dead. I'm just like, are they taking a step back? And was last year an aberration, Tony?
Well, I mean, all we can go on, if you base it off of how well they did last year, it might be, okay, it's only two games. But all we can go on for the 2020 season is two games. And so far, it's been a bit shaky. Now, somebody mentioned earlier, you know, they're selling out for the blitz a lot. Yeah, they're selling out for the run, I should say, and they're obviously blitzing a lot. So that might be leaving these guys out on an island. They might be giving them a lot of responsibility, and they are talented players. At least, you know, guys like Joe Hayden and Minker and Steven Nelson they all had exceptional years last year. So maybe it's just the fact that the Steelers are selling out for the run, and they're blitzing so much that these guys are sort of left in one-on-one matchups. I don't know. It hasn't been horrible, but when you start playing better quarterbacks, it might be something that really where they are really exposed. So having said that, it has been only two games, and to repeat myself, there's no preseason action. So, you know, there's gonna be a lot of rust, for in a lot of areas for a lot of teams, and maybe that's what the secondary is going through right now.
Let me ask you about that rush. I mean, that rust, you know, a lot of teams yesterday they're losing players for the season at a rampant rate. You know, the Pittsburgh Steelers already had it happen last week with Zach Banner.
Right.
And now you're seeing all these guys. Cortland Sutton went out in that game yesterday. Of course, Saquon Barkley. McCaffrey's not out for the season, but he's out possibly 4 to 6 or 6 to 8. You know, we saw Bosa go out. You're looking at Solomon Thomas went out with a knee. A lot of guys are going out. Are we blaming preseason on that as well? Because, you know, they had to have been doing something in camp, but my question are we going to see more and more of this in the next couple of weeks?
I think you could see less, because yesterday was such an unusual day with so many big name players that went. I mean, the 49ers were practically they lost their quarterback, Nick Bosa, as you said, they lost somebody else. Barkley went down. It was just a crazy day. So I think overall you're going to see less. But yeah, that could play a part. I mean, these guys, the veterans anyway, they don't play a ton in the preseason, but they certainly play enough. And this is also a weird. Like the first training camp where with the new CBA, so you had less padded practices than in years past, and maybe there was something to that too. So I don't think you're going to see you're going to see more, but I can certainly see why the first couple of weeks you saw a lot of significant, especially lower body injuries.
Okay, Tony, we are going to go rapid fire here. Confidence level, good, bad, or ugly. That's what we're going to play here. So I'm just going to throw out guys. You just tell me good, bad, or ugly on your confidence level for this guy. Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh, good.
James Conner.
Good, bad, and ugly.
Okay. Let's change it. Good, fair, and ugly. How about that?
Okay, I'll say fair.
All right. Ray McLeod.
Good. I'm pleasantly surprised by him. He's speaking of somebody. I owe him an apology because I consider him another Johnny Holton. So I apologize, Ray.
So he is going to. Somebody said mentioned up here earlier that he has had fumbling problems in the past, and that was Joe McLaughlin. Ray has had fumble issues. Mostly, we have four stud receivers keeping up that 33-yard return average. But I tell you what, I'm looking at guys like the combination of Deontay Johnson and Ray McLeod. I think this is the most speed that they've had in a long time at the both return positions, and I'm pretty excited about that. So let me ask you this, the offensive line.
Oh, I mean, I'm good after yesterday. They have two youngsters on the right side and do as well as they did protecting Ben. I'm going to say good.
I'm flip-flopping from last week. Yeah. I'm, my complete knee jerk right now is like, okay, you know, maybe they're okay. The receivers, the top four receivers from Juju to Claypool.
Good.
I love these guys. This is a very unselfish bunch. You have Juju Smith-Schuster, who's not afraid to hit you. He is not selfish whatsoever. You have Deontay, who is as he gets more comfortable, he's going to be very dangerous as well. A lot of people said that Juju needs to stay. James Washington is going to. I know we joke around because Ike Taylor called him Grandpa Strong, but he is that country guy that isn't afraid to get his hands dirty and work. And that's exactly, he works for everything he has. So excited about him. And Chase Claypool right now has the third best since the merger average as far as reception average since actually yards receiving since Ron Shanklin in 1970 and Lewis Lips, who was number one in 1984. And let me give Dave Schofield credit for that stat. That's a fantastic stat. But Claypool could be a 1,000-yard receiver the way he's going. Ben has all the weapons right now that if he stays healthy, he could just pick you apart. So let me talk about the tight ends. We're going to continue this game. Good, fair, and ugly. Eric Ebron.
Fair.
I'm going to say good, you know, because they don't have to go to him that often. I know he had a drop, but as far as everything goes, I'm pretty happy with him. Vance McDonald.
I'm sorry, but ugly. He did not have a good game yesterday or the first game.
And I love the Vanimal too. But maybe it's time to get a mess kind of guy in there to add to it. And that might be something that they might be looking at in the future. So let's go ahead and go over to the defense. I'm not going to give every guy here. I'm not going to give the obvious ones. Stephon Tuitt.
Oh, good.
Because he did not have he had a lot of pressures. He really didn't record tackles, but he seemed to be all over the place.
Right.
Devin Bush Jr.
After yesterday, I'm going to have to go with ugly. He did not have a good game yesterday.
But that's just one game because a week ago we were saying, there you go. We've got our guy. So, I mean, they're going to have bad games is what I'm going to say. Minkah Fitzpatrick.
As far as this year, I'm going to say fair. He hasn't really done a whole heck of a lot through two games.
Once again, let's go ahead and caution the fact that, you know, this is just – from one game that we're looking at. And I'm not talking to you, Tony. I'm just talking to our viewers and listeners. These are our reactions from yesterday more than anything. he did go up against Noah Fant, who is really going to be a good tight end. Then Joe Hayden. That's one more that I'm going to ask you about.
I'm going to say fair.
What do we do now as far as Terrell Edmonds? He saved the game yesterday. I didn't think he had a particularly good game, but he did save the game. Was that because of scheme, Tony, or was that more because of his athleticism?
Well, I mean, they said they wanted to use him more in the box and the play that he saved the game with the sack. I mean, I don't know if that's was he playing safety on that position or in that play? I'm sure. I guess he was. So I don't know if it's scheme. I don't know. I know. All I know is they wanted to be more of an in the box safety. They think that's his strength, and I'm not sure.
All right, very good. That was our very first ever good, fair, and ugly. And I just made it up on the fly. So that's why we had to change the name right in the middle of it. But there you go. And Kathy for it. I love Kathy. She says, even a blind sow finds an acorn now and then. Love it. That's Kansas talk there. Kansas Kathy with the, that's awesome. So as far as everything goes, I'm still celebrating 2-0 because you know what, it's our job to be worried about the future. You know, we need to worry about the next week. It's our job to, if we came on here and just said, yeah, everything's going to be fine, they're 2-0. No, we've got to look at this stuff. And that's exactly what we've got to do. But I want to quote, and they're both on the show. Tony, have you had a chance to listen to Touchdown Under yet?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's really good.
So I love me some Matty P and Marky D. Matty Peverell, Mark Davison, fantastic. They have a month of shows in. If you have not downloaded Touchdown Under, or no, let me quote them, Touchdown Under. If you have not had a chance to do that, it's fantastic. So they do something called Slinging the Slang. And one thing that they made Australian slang a title the other day. And the title was Show Me Right. And that's instead of, yeah, everything's going to be all right, Show Me Right. That's exactly what they do. And I'm not going to even try with my Australian accent. I'm not going to try to put another shrimp on the bobby because that's really bad. But Show Me Right. And that's what I'm feeling about the Pittsburgh Steelers. So let's throw in some Q&A. Let's go ahead and take the next five questions before we wrap everything up. So if you've already put it up there, that's I may have missed it. But so go ahead and throw some in. But I will go ahead and look at the last one out there and then go ahead and put one up there. I have not – Wes is saying Terrell Edmonds did not save the game. Gordon not blocking him saved the game. Well, on the stat sheet, he saved the game.
Yeah, you still have to make that play.
Absolutely. He does say that Noah Fant is another Tony Gonzalez, and I do really like that claim. I think Noah Fant is going to be good. Since we don't have any questions yet, let me ask you this question here. As of yesterday, who won the big draft day trade of 2019? The Steelers or the Broncos? Or is it a push so far? Because we're talking, they got Drew Locke, Frank Cushenberry, and Noah Fant out of this deal. The Steelers got a man named Devin Bush Jr.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to say the Steelers so far because they have a guy in the middle of their defense that they were lacking, and their defense is playing for the most part lights out since 2019. You know, Bush is still a young player, you know, and he still has some work to do, but he also has shown a lot too over the course of his first 18 games. So I'm going to say the Steelers for now.
Kriakis asks, is it time to look at drafting high for the offensive line this upcoming year? Right at this particular juncture, I am going to say yes. That is probably number one on their wish list next year to get younger and get stronger on the offensive line and do it pretty high. Now, of course, things can happen. And you, what happens if you something happens to Ben and you're in need? If you're in need of a quarterback and they're in position for one. So you never know. But right now, on this date, September 21st, when this is being recorded, I'm going to say yes. Matty Peverell, question. Would you prefer to get a second and a fourth round pick next year by trading Dupree or keep him through till the end of the Tony, take that because I know exactly where I'm going with this.
Oh, well, you have to keep Dupree. I mean, you have a chance to do something special this year, and he's one of the – he's not one of your best players on defense. And as you said, he could get some votes for defensive player of the year. That's how well he's played. People forget TJ Watt had a great game, but Bud Dupree caused a sack. You know, he knocked Drew Lock out of the game and he forced a fumble. That's the second time that he's created a turnover in 2 weeks. So, I mean, second and fourth round picks. I mean, I would have to stick with Dupree for until the end of the year.
As the podcast producer of Behind the Steel Curtain, Maddie, for asking that question, I have now demoted you. Now you are now on Steeler Cribs, our new show that's coming up where you're talking about Steeler's apartments. I'm just joking, buddy. That's
well, he could redeem himself by he's from Australia. If he gets me Alex O'Loughlin's autograph, I'm a big Hawaii 5-0 fan. It'll be
I
all
love
square.
Hawaii 5-0.
Yeah, it'll be square. It'll be square. So
there you go. When my wife found out about it, she loves this Australian show called Wentworth. So she's like, hey, could they meet me? Help me meet the Wentworth people. I'm like, and Wentworth's like a woman's prison show, like their version of Orange Is the Black, or maybe it's the other way around. But no, I'm kidding, Maddie. Show me right, mate. There you go. Hey, it's getting better. Dallas Quinley says, are the players playing harder for Ben or for Tomlin?
I think they're playing harder for Tomlin. I mean, I think he has a way of rallying that locker room. Like few coaches in the NFL, he keeps his teams together.
I think they're playing for themselves first. I think they are still playing for Tomlin. I think they're playing for Ben as well. But I'll go with your answer on Tomlin as far as that goes. Let's see. Any more questions here? Maddie says, redeem myself. You'd rather not get another Claypool and Dotson. Interesting. Now, here's the thing on this, Maddie. I mean, my answer to this is you've got a window. This could be a Super Bowl year. You've got a lot of guys that are going to be, gosh, they are going to be off of this team next year because of the salary cap going low. This is the year that you ride the one of the best, not the best, but possibly one of the best bookend linebackers, bookend edge rushers in Pittsburgh Steelers history. And I think you've got to run with it.
Yeah. And you could also get another Sezquez Golson and name any other fourth round pick that gets cut every other year. You know, I mean, you just never know. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but you're rolling the dice there with that.
No, but I am kidding. That was a good question, though, buddy. Joe McLaughlin, do you think Minka looks out of sorts? I think they're being left on an island. I think Minka is going to be fine. But I said this yesterday, Tony, if the season ended after week two, he's not a Pro Bowler. He's not an All-Pro. Right. But I think by the end of the season, he is. This is where we're ironing out the kinks, just iron them out. Ryan O'Toole, this is going to be our last question here. 60 sacks for the season, over or under? Tony, take it.
Right now, I'm going to go over.
I'm going to go over too. I really think that they're crazy. I'm actually going to say if we get a couple weeks of six or seven and it becomes a habit. You know, I think it's actually going to be, they could be in 1985, 86 Chicago Bear territory. I mean, that's probably a little steep, but I'm really excited about this. You know what? Let's go ahead and take two more questions because I just saw some really good ones here. Raheem Hunt, Texans are 0-2, but they played arguably the two best teams in the league. We're barely 2-0 against two bad teams. Do we win next week?
I think it's going to be close. But I think I don't know. I mean, I've seen a lot of week three laying of eggs over the years, so I'm gonna hold off on that. I think it's gonna be a close game.
I think that this is, the Pittsburgh Steelers are a better team, but it does not mean that they're going to absolutely beat them. Just what I saw the last 2 weeks when the Texans had a chance, and I really don't think Baltimore's defense is really what they were last year. I don't think they're an absolute juggernaut. They're good, but I thought a guy like Watson, and there's still talent on that team, I thought they should have been fine. The Kansas City defense, I don't think is that good at all.
Right.
So there you go. Steelers Pittsburgh says, did Big Bro write another knee jerk article? That goes right after the game. So that is, you'll see that basically when I did knee jerk, and he's doing it now too. When there's zeros on the clock, we hit submit, and that should go up like 5 minutes after the game, because that is, people want instant reaction, and that's pretty good. Reginald Rivers asks, do we see Anthony McFarland Jr. play this season? Reggie, I think we see him sooner than later because of two fumbles by Benny Snell Jr. So McFarland Jr. is going to get more of a chance with struggles from Benny Snell Jr. I'm not saying it's next week, but yeah, we're going to see him sooner rather than later. I think you're going to see him by week six. So with that being said, Tony, Alfred Fustagi, who sent me an email last week, and I saw that, Alfred, I will be getting back to you. What's one key statistic for the Steelers to win versus the Texans? What do you think the most important thing next week is?
Oh, it's got to be takeaways. I mean, as Jeff posted yesterday, they've turned the ball over 25 straight games. So they're very good at taking the ball away, but they're also pretty bad at giving it away. So I think if they can win a turnover battle, if they can not turn the ball over, I think they'll get two or three of themselves, and that might be good enough to win.
Okay, now this is the last question, because I really love I wanted to cut it off, but so I'm going to cut it off after this because I like this one too. But I'm going to change the question from DJ2YT only. Instead of which streak do we break first, not scoring 30 or not turning it over, which one's more important to you, not scoring 30 points, not turning it over?
I think not turning it over. I mean, you saw that yesterday. You know, you have a chance to put a team away and – You throw the pick by Ben early in the first half that, you know, you're up by 14. If you get three there, the game's probably over. Or in the fourth quarter with Benny Snell, you just got the safety and it looks like you're going to be on easy street, and you turn the ball right back. So yeah, I think it's turnovers.
So I am going to answer that question now, DJ2YT only. I'm thinking that they're going to go ahead and score 30 first. In fact, I really think they could do it this week against the Houston Texans. They could do that a whole lot quicker. I think they're still going to iron out the let's just say, I think the preseason's going to last four games. I don't care as long as you're 3-1, 4-0 in the preseason. I would prefer 4-0. So let's just call it that. And I really think that needs to be ironed out a little bit more. I think they're going to, 20, they're averaging 26. It's not hard to figure out their average. They've scored 26 2 weeks in a row. So you don't even have to put math to it. So they're averaging 26. That's really close to 30. I mean, my gosh, if there's three extra minutes on the clock yesterday, that's a 33-point game. Because they're going to end up putting it in. So I think 30 is happening soon. But all I care about is this, the W. And I'm thinking that is going to happen this week as well. But we'll talk about that more later. Tony, any last words, my friend?
Just to bring it all the way back around. It was a sloppy game yesterday, but there were a lot of good things too. It's great to see them 2-0. They started off slow the last 2 years, and they missed the playoffs barely. So getting off to a fast start this year was paramount to having a great finish, and I'm just excited that they're 2-0.
I am too, Tony. So let's wrap this whole thing up, and we will say this. Tony, to quote the great Rowdy Roddy Piper, just when you think you've got all of the answers,
we keep changing the questions.
All right. It doesn't matter whether you're under or over, as long as you're hungover. This was the Steelers Hangover. My name's BAD. With for Tony DeFeo, we'll talk to you later.